بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue the discussion on the beneficial sayings of the book of Tawheed, and the chapter title we started last time was Bab al-Shafa'a, the subject on Shafa'a, on intercession. And then we have reached the citation by the author rahimahullah, and he cited the following verse concerning that the intercession is only approved with conditions, and from that is the permit by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the intercessor. So he cited the following verse, وقوله من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه, from سورة البقرة 2255. من ذا الذي, who is he? This is an exclamation denoting negation, meaning no one can intercede with Allah except by His permit. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse, who is he that can intercede with Him except with His permission? So no one can intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without Allah's approval. And we have learned many times that when the negation is in the context of exclamation, then it involves a meaning of challenge, involves a meaning of challenge, tahaddi. So if there is someone who can intercede without the permit of Allah, let him come. Now, intercede with him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above creation. No one therefore can intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if a close one, like the close angels, except by His universal approval. And His universal approval cannot be except when Allah is pleased with that. This verse also indicates that this is a condition for intercession, that this is a proof for the condition of permit. That is because of the perfect authority of Allah Jalla wa Ala, most magnificent and most high. And we know that in the human authority, and to Allah belongs the best example, the authority of a king, no one speaks before him, even to say something good, except by his permit. And that's why it is considered a vain talk or a degradation in the presence of authority, a person of authority, if someone speaks without permit. And the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with all of them, they revered the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they did not speak except when the speech was opened. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore belongs the best example, because to Him is the perfect authority, and therefore no one can intercede without His permit. Then the author rahimahullah, now this is part 2 of the chapter on intercession. This is part 2 on the chapter of intercession. So this will be chapter 17 now, according to our series. And this is part 2. Isn't it that the case? Yes. Okay, therefore, fine. Alhamdulillah, that's it. Then the author, rahimahullah, mentioned the saying, or cited the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. And there are many angels in the heavens whose intercession will avail nothing except after Allah has given leave for whom He wills and pleases. This ayah, kam min malak, this indicates many are the angels in the heavens. Yet, despite that, their intercession will avail nothing except after Allah's approval and Him being pleased. And therefore, from this we know, from this verse, we know that two conditions are clear. The permit from Allah, because Allah said, أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهِ, that Allah gives leave. Second, His pleasure with the intercessor and also with the one on whose behalf intercession is being made. And the intercessor is known as الشافع, and the one on whose behalf the intercession is being made is called المشفوع له. المشفوع له. And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:28, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ اِرْتَضَى وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ اِرْتَضَى. And they cannot intercede except for him with whom he is pleased. So therefore, there it's clear that his even, his leave, and also his pleasure are conditional. Except with the case of Abi Talib, and this was lightning the punishment on him, and this was discussed earlier. Now one wonders about this verse, why the author cited this verse in particular. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَرَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. And there are many angels in the heavens whose intercession will avail nothing except after Allah has given leave for whom He wills and pleases. This ayah is in the context of nullifying the divinity for the idols of the mushriks, the idol Al-Lat, the idol Al-Uzza, and Manat, etc. Allah Ta'ala, after Allah mentioned the ascension of the Prophet ﷺ and what occurred to him in heavens, He said, as in Surah An-Najm verse 18, which we discussed also under the tafsir, لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى 53:18. See, this is after mentioning this. This verse came in the context of nullifying the divinity of these idols. Allah said after the ascension, after mentioning the ascension of the Prophet ﷺ, indeed he, Muhammad ﷺ, did see of the greatest signs of his Lord. Now, contemplate this, the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest signs, then how about Allah Himself? Then He is most great, most magnificent. You understand? You see here, this is of the greatest signs of His Lord. You see, then how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he mentioned in the next verses, 19:20, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةَ وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. Have you then considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, the idols, your idols, and Manat, the another idol of the pagans, the other third? This is an exclamation of scorning. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this greatness, indeed he saw of the greatest signs of his Lord, then tell me about this Lat, tell me about these idols of yours. Tell me of their greatness. This is the utmost in scorning. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the next verses up to 25, same verses, and 53 to 20, from 21 to 25, أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى تِلْكَ إِذًا قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَى. Is it for you the males and for him the females? That indeed is a division most unfair. إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس ولقد جاءهم من ربهم الهدى. They are but names which you have named, you and your forefathers and your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. They follow but a guess and that which they themselves desire, whereas there has surely come to them the guidance from their Lord. أَمْ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَا تَمَنَّ فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ وَالْأُولَى. Now, follow carefully. But to Allah belongs, or before that, or shall man have what he wishes? But to Allah belongs the last, hereafter, and the first. Now, the citation of the verse we are discussing comes. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. The verse 26 we are discussing. You see the context now? And there are many angels in the heavens whose intercession will avail nothing except after Allah has given leave for whom He wills and pleases. So if the angels who are in the heavens in highness, their intercession avails nothing except after the approval of Allah and His pleasure, then how about, you see, how about your Lat and Uzza, which are on the earth? You see that? You see that? Now you see the context of the verses? Then how about, tell me about your Lat and Uzza that you seek to intercede and you worship. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ. And there are many angels in the heavens. Yet, you know, we know that the angels are in heavens and also on earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended the angels that are high above in heaven with Allah, mean close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even those who carry the throne, their intercession avails nothing except after Allah gives leave and is pleased. Is that clear? You see the context of this verse? Then the next verse the author cited. Then the next verse the author cited. What about the rest? طيب. قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. Say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to those polytheists, the pagans, etc. Call upon those whom you assert to be your associate. Call upon them besides Allah. They possess not even the weight of a small ant, either in the heavens or on the earth, nor have they any share in either. You see? Nor they have any share in either, nor there is for him any supporter from among them. Meaning for Allah, there is no supporter from among them. So here, قُلْ ادْعُوا. So call upon. Call upon. Two meanings are possible in this. Call upon. ادعو. One meaning is bring them. Bring those whom you call besides Allah. Second, invoke them, the invocation of request, asking for something from them. So if they ask for something from them, they will not respond. They will not answer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Fatir 35:14, Allah ta'ala, إن تدعوهم لا يسمعوا دعاءكم ولو سمعوا ما استجابوا لكم ويوم القيامة يكفرون بشرككم ولا ينبئك مثل خبير. سبحانه وتعالى. If you invoke or call upon them, they hear not your call, and if in case they were to hear, they could not grant it. Grant what? Grant your request that you requested from them. They cannot grant it to you. And on the day of resurrection, they will disown your worshipping them. And none can inform you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like him, Allah, who is the all-knower of each and everything. يَكْفُرُونَ بِشِرِكِكُمْ. They will disown your worshipping. Yet, there, despite of this, of these great magnificent verses, there are people who commit shirk and ask others besides Allah. In addition, if they would call them to come, they will not come. And if they were to come, they will not benefit anything from their presence. That's why Allah also subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا يملكون مثقال ذرة. They possess not even the weight of a dhar. A dhar is the small ant. The small ant. And people make parables with this when they want to talk about littleness. When they talk about littleness. مثقال ذرة. Similarly, not only the weight of a small ant, even lesser, they don't possess that. And you see, what is intended by this small ant is al-mubalagha, is exaggeration. And if exaggeration about certain thing is for either way, for littleness or greatness, then it has no what is intended is the general. Is the general ruling. Like for example, look at this. In Surah At-Tawbah 980, قال الله تعالى إن تستغفر لهم, look, إن تستغفر لهم, how many times he mentioned here? 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. Whether you ask forgiveness for them, hypocrites, or ask not forgiveness for them, and even if you ask 70 times for their forgiveness, is 70 times here only meant to be, you know, something particular as 70, or this is for Yani, no matter how much you do, you see, of istighfar, it will not be accepted. You understand? You understand? This is stressing the point. Yes. طيب, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they possess not even the weight of a small ant. Yet we know from other verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed that man can possess. We say yes, but the possession of man is limited, not comprehensible, and it's renewable, and it also could come to an end. And this is not like the possession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His kingdom. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this same verse said, وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. And nor have they any share in either. Meaning in the heavens and the earth. So they don't possess it, either independently on their own or with sharing. Min shirk, have any share in this, in either. Yani, neither few nor much. They have nothing. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. And nor there is for him, Allah, any supporter from among them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no helpers, no supporters from among them. So through this we see that so many things are denied and negated for these idols worship, which people cling to. They don't possess anything on their own, nor by any kind of sharing, and also, they don't possess the help. So if these things are negated, then there is only one thing left, and that is the intercession. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nullified that intercession in His saying in Surah Saba 34:23, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. Intercession with him profits not except for him whom he subhanahu wa ta'ala permits. So the intercession by these idols with Allah is void, futile, because they are not permitted, they are not given permission. So therefore all means of shirk therefore are negated. And this is from the greatest signs indicating the futility of idol worshipping, because they possess no benefit to their worshippers, neither independently nor by sharing, and no help that they can offer, and no intercession. You see that? How many things now we have? They don't benefit, neither independently nor with sharing. They don't possess the ability to give help, and they don't possess intercession. So therefore, their worship is nullified. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Ahqaf 46 verse 5, ومن أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة. And who is more astray than one who calls, invokes besides Allah, such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection? And who are even unaware of their calls, invocations to them? Even if the one being invoked is sane, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the next verse in Surah Al-Ahqaf, 46:6, وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. And when mankind are gathered, they, the false deities, will become enemies for them and will deny their worshipping. And they will deny their worshipping. وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. All these verses and indicate that the person must disconnect all of his associations except with Allah, worshipping Him out of love, magnification, hope, fear, and seeking aid, so that he becomes a true slave worshipper of Allah, becomes his desires, his inclinations, his intent, his love, his hate, his allegiance, all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Him, because He is created to worship Allah only. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Mu'minun in 23:115, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Did you think that we had created you in play without a purpose and that you would not be brought back to us? Did you think that we had created you in play without a purpose and that you would not be brought back to us? Meaning, you think that we will not command you and will not tell you this is forbidden, this is allowable? If we had created you only that you live, eat and drink and get married, and this would be in vain. But there is something beyond that, behind that, a purpose, and that is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And that's why Allah said, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ, and that you would not be brought back to us, you thought, or you think, and then we will recompense you. So if you think as such, then your thinking is futile. No benefit. Then the author, rahimahullah, cited a statement by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Qala Abu al-Abbas, nickname for Shaykh al-Islam ابن تيمية رحمه الله, تقي الدين أحمد بن عبد الحليم بن عبد السلام بن تيمية رحمه الله. He didn't marry because he was busy with علم and jihad. He died رحمه الله in 728 after Hijra, after 67 years and 10 months of age. He said, نفى الله عما سواه كل ما يتعلق به المشركون فنفى أن يكون لغيره ملك أو قسط منه أو يكون عونا لله ولم يبق إلا الشفاعة. He, رحمه الله, said, Allah has negated all that the polytheists do in worship, worshipping other than Him, in His saying, which we learned earlier, لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. They possess not even the weight of an atom, either in the heavens or in the earth. And also, they can give no help to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah negated all that the polytheists do in worship, such as belief that any besides Allah possesses sovereignty or has any share in sovereignty or aid, so that not remains except intercession. Then he فَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهَا لَا تَنْفَعْ. Then he made it clear and plain that intercession is not possible except by his permission. إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّبُّ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ ارْتَضَى. And they can have no possession except for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. As in Surah Al-Baqarah we mentioned also earlier, 255, مَنْ دَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. None can intercede except with his approval, his permission. And one should know that this, the shirk of the mushriks in the past, was in idol worshipping, but now it is in the obedience in ways of magnification of leaders by some people. They magnify them as holy more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in term more than they revere Allah and magnify Him. We, in response, we say, they are humans like you. They came from the same exit for urine and for menses. And they have no share in the heavens nor in the earth. And they don't possess any intercession for you with Allah. So how you cling to them in this way? To the extent that one of them would bow to his leader or prostrate to, as they prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal. So their worship, the worship of the leaders, like the worship of Allah, this is jahiliyyah. This is jahiliyyah. And disbelief and kufr. Now, our duty to the leaders is to obey them, and their obedience is from the obedience to Allah. But not to magnify them to the levels of worship. Whoever these leaders may be, in the sense that a leader could be a leader of a group, a leader of a society, a leader of a tribe, you name it. So this intercession, which the mushriks thought of concerning their, or believed in concerning their idols, is negated on the day of resurrection, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated in the Quran. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, he rahimahullah said, فَهَذِهِ الشَّفَاعَةَ الَّتِي يَظُنُّهَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ هِيَ مُنْتَفِيَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This intercession which the mushriks believed in is negated on the day of resurrection. And their idols will avail them nothing. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:98, إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمَ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ لَوْ كَانَ هَؤُلَاءِ آلِهَةً مَّا وَرَدُوهَا وَكُلٌّ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Certainly you disbelievers and that which you are worshipping now besides Allah are but fuel for hell. Surely you will enter it. So the idols themselves will have no benefit to themselves, and they will also receive no intercession. So how could it therefore be intercessors? How could they be set as intercessors? But rather they are in hell, and those who worship them. So now Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, now he said, فَهَذِهِ الشَّفَاعَةَ الَّتِي يَظُنُّهَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ هِيَ مُنْتَفِيَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This intercession which the mushriks believed in is negated on the day of resurrection. كَمَا نَفَاهَ اللَّهُ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated it in the Quran. وَأَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, and that the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said, that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يأتي فيسجد لربه. He will come and prostrate to his Lord, ويحمده, and will praise him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, لا يبدأ بالشفاعة. He doesn't begin to intercede first. ثم يقال له, it will be then said to him, ارفع رأسك, raise your head, وقل يسمع, and ask, and it shall be given, وسل تعطى, واشفع تشفع, and ask, and you will be given, say, and you will be listened to, واشفع تشفع, and intercede, and it will be accepted. Intercede, and it will be accepted. This is from the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه in Sahih al-Bukhari. So if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the greatest of mankind in status and rank with Allah, cannot intercede except, or does not intercede except that he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the praises, praises which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even will open on him. He didn't even know before. And he will have a prolonged prostration. And then he will be given intercession. So how about your idols? Could it intercede for its worshippers? The answer is no. Then Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah cited the saying of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك, who will be the most happy person who will gain your intercession? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لقد كنت أظن, I thought, أن لا يسألني أحد غيرك عنه. No one else will ask me about this except you, because of what I see of keenness regarding knowledge from you. And from this there is evidence that from the means to attain knowledge is as-su'al, is asking about it. So the Prophet ﷺ answered him, من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. The Messenger ﷺ said, concerning who will be the most happy, most pleasing to Allah, he replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him who says, la ilaha illallah, khalisan min qalbihi, sincere from his heart. And accordingly, the mushriks, they don't have any share in intercession, because they don't say, la ilaha illallah. Qala Allah ta'ala in Surah As-Saffat 37-36, إنهم كانوا إذا قيل لهم لا إله إلا الله يستكبرون. إنهم كانوا إذا قيل لهم لا إله إلا الله يستكبرون. ويقولون أئنا لتاركو آلهتنا لشاعر مجنون. Truly when it was said to them, لا إله إلا الله, there is none who deserves to be worshipped except Allah, they puffed themselves up with pride and denied it, meaning. And they said, are we going to abandon our aliha, our gods, for the sake of a mad poet? وَلَيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah spoke about them, what they said in Surah Sad, verse 5, أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدة إن هذا لشيء عجاب. Has he made the gods all into one إله, one God? Verily, this is a curious thing. And in reality, their action of worshipping other than Allah is the curious thing. قال تعالى in Surah As-Saffat, the same verse 37, verse 12, بل عجبت ويسخرون. بل عجبت ويسخرون. Yes, say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, wondered at their insolence while they mock at you and at the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ra'd also, 13:5, وَإِن تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Their actions, their sayings are, and if you wonder, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, at these politicians who deny your message of Tawheed and have taken besides Allah others for worship who can neither harm nor benefit, then wondrous is their saying. You see that? Wondrous is their saying. When we are dust, shall we indeed then be raised in a new creation? This is the wondrous thing. Not having only having only one true God. So, من قال لا إله إلا الله, whoever says لا إله إلا الله خالصا, sincerely from his heart. So, excluded from this, therefore, excluded from his saying sincerely from his heart, is excluded is the hypocrite, who says it in, you know, hypocritically. He has no share in intercession. Because the hypocrite says, La ilaha illallah, and he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, lakin Allah, however, Allah Azza wa Jal, most mighty and most magnificent, responded to their attestation by attesting to their lying. قال الله تعالى in Surah Munafiqun 63:1, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. When the hypocrites come to you, say, we bear witness that you are indeed the messenger of Allah. Allah knows that you are indeed His messenger. And Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are liars indeed. Liars indeed. In their testimony, meaning, in their testimony that you are the messenger of Allah, they are liars in this. And in their testimony, La ilaha illallah. Why? Because if that was really the case and truly they said that, they wouldn't be hiding disbelief and presenting on the outward Islam, meaning hypocrisy. They wouldn't do that. And that's why this is from the conditions of La ilaha illallah, that it must be believed in with sincerity. Khalisan, it must be said and believed and attested to by sincerity. So there can be no show off. It must be a certain testimony. From the heart. Why from the heart? From the heart. La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart, as in the hadith. Because the matter, the whole matter is on the heart. And it, the heart is not just a, it's not a meaning, something intangible here. No, it's the flesh in the chest of men. The piece of flesh in the chest of men. قال الله تعالى, قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Hajj, 22:46. So the matter revolves around the heart. And the heart is not a meaning in the sense that it is intangible, but rather this is the organ flesh in the chest of men, of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. Have they not traveled through the land and have their hearts wherewith to understand and ears wherewith to hear? فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Verily, it is not the eyes that grow blind, but it is the hearts which are in the breasts that grow blind. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha. Verily in the body there is a piece of flesh. Idha saluhat saluhal jasadu kullu. If it is upright, then the entire body will be sound. And it is the heart. as in the hadith of Al-Nu'man bin Bashir. And if it is, if it be diseased, all of it is diseased, and this is the heart. And from this, one knows the futility of the saying that the intellect is in the brain. It's not denied that the brain has an effect in terms of understanding and contemplating. However, the aql, the intellect, is in the heart. And that's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, العقل في القلب وله اتصال في الدماغ. The intellect is in the heart and it has connection in the brain or to the brain. ومن قال كلمة الإخلاص, and the one who says this testimony of sincerity of لا إله إلا الله truly from his heart, then it's a must that he will seek the one who deserves to be worshipped through the means that lead to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he will comply to the command of Allah and he will abstain from his prohibitions. This is the true worship. And this is the true manifestation of La ilaha illallah. So Shaykh al-Islam now continues to say, فَتِلْكَ الشَّفَاعَةُ لِأَهْلِ الْإِخْلَاصِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So, this is the intercession. It will be the for the people of sincerity, who are sincere. By Allah's leave, of course. وَلَا تَكُونُ لِمَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. And it's not for those who ascribe partners with Allah. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Muddathir 74:48, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. So no intercession of intercessors will be of any use to them. Then he said, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, وَحَقِيقَتُهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ الَّذِي يَتَفَضَّلُ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْإِخْلَاصِ فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ بِوَاسِطَةِ دُعَاءِ مَنْ أُذِنَ لَهُ أَنْ يَشْفَعْ لِيُكْرِمَهُ وَيَنَالَ الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودِ. And the reality of it, he said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who bestows his favor upon the people of sincerity, purity of tawheed. فَيَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and so he will forgive them, بِوَاسِطَةِ دُعَاءِ مَنْ أُذِنَ لَهُ أَنْ يَشْفَعْ, by means of the dua. Dua of whom? The one whom Allah gave permit to intercede. Why? لِيُكْرِمَهُ, to honor him. So for the benefit, that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive the one on whose behalf the intercession is made, ولكن بواسطة هذه الشفاعة. However, it's going to be through the واسطة, the means of this intercession. What is the wisdom of this means? What is the hikmah from this واسطة? What is the hikmah behind this? He said, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, لِيُكْرِمَهُ وَيَنَالَ الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودِ, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor him and attain the praise, the station. And if Allah willed, he would forgive him without the intercession. But he subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to show his favor upon the intercessor and honor him before people. And it is known that the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his intercession, then he has a rank, high rank with him. So in this, therefore, there will be an honor to the intercessor from two angles. First, honoring him by accepting his intercession. Second, manifesting the status and rank of this intercessor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that he can attain this praised station. And the greatest of mankind in that is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him to give him this high station and praise the station. And from that is that Allah accepts his intercession. You know, accepts his intercession after all the prophets declined. And from the prophets were some of the, or all of the foremost in resolve. And also, the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and approves his intercession on the day of resurrection from the believers, then he will have a station, a praised station, in accordance with the level of his intercession, which Allah bestows upon him. We stop here inshallah ta'ala, so as to continue the part 3 next week bi'idhnillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Now, the end of the chapter 17 on the topic of intercession. And the author, rahimahullah, summarized the benefits as a summary and a review. The first, the chapter involved explanation of 5 verses. And they were explained and interpreted in the previous discussions. In this chapter, the author, rahimahullah, clarified the meaning of the negated intercession. The negated intercession, and it is the one involving shirk. Any intercession involving shirk is annulled. The third, also, there was the affirmation, or there was the mentioning of the affirmed intercession. And this is the intercession of the people of Tawheed, interceding, however, with the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits this, and he is pleased with the intercessor and with the one on whose behalf intercession is made. Is that clear? These things, we covered them, right? These were from the major points discussed in the chapter. The fourth is mentioning the greatest intercession, and this is the station of high praise, the station of praise, and this is the intercession concerning the people awaiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment, and this is known as al-maqam al-mahmud, the praise station. And this is the greatest intercession. We covered that. And all the prophets direct to whom? All the prophets direct to whom? Question. To the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. The fifth point, the description, or the discussion also involved the description as to what the Prophet ﷺ will do, and that he will not begin, will not initiate the intercession, but rather he will, you tell me now, he ﷺ will do what? Sujood. He will make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then if he is given the permission, he will intercede, as Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said. And this is apparent, and this also is a proof for the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also a proof for the perfect manners of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. The sixth matter was considering as'adun nasi biha, the most happy receiving the intercession are the people of tawheed and sincerity, the one who say la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbih, sincerely, purely from his heart. Wa la ilaha illallah, what does it mean? La ilaha illallah, it means no one is worthy of worship truly except Allah. It doesn't mean none is worshipped except Allah. Because this, you know, if this is the case, then the reality will stand against it. Why? Because there are objects that are worshipped besides Allah. And they are given even titles. Titles, Aliha. Therefore, and they are futile. So therefore the meaning is, La ilaha haqq illallah. There is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. And the term and the statement La ilaha illallah comprises negation and affirmation, meaning it has negation and affirmation parts. This is the true Tawheed, because mere affirmation, okay, does not prevent sharing. Also, on the other hand, mere negation is pure denial. So if you say La ilaha, there is no God, this means you nullified all gods, negated all gods. وَلَوْ قُلْتَ, and if you say Allah alone, then in this case God alone, in this case, or you say Allah and you say Allah, in this case you did not single him alone in worship. Why? Because this format does not prevent sharing. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah 2163, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ, and your ilah, God, is only one ilah. La ilaha illahu, none has the right to be worshipped except him. So, in this verse, and your ilah, when the affirmation came, he asserted it by one, wahid, one ilah. The seventh point, or benefit, the intercession would not be of any, for anyone, it will not be affirmed for anyone who commits shirk. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Muddathir 74:48, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. So no intercession of intercessors will be of any use to them. No intercession of intercessors will be of any use to them. The eighth matter is the reality, explaining the reality of the intercession and also of the of the intercession that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon the people of sincerity, so that they will be the most happy, because they are the people of pure tawheed. They say, those who say the testimony in sincerity and impurity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them by means of the one whom Allah gives permit to intercede, in order what? To honor him and for him to attain the station of praise, the high station of praise. This is the end of the chapter 17, and inshallah in the next chapter we will talk about something related to guidance. Wallahu ta'ala ala wa alam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.